Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Our last Dhamma talk we were discussing about comprehension by contemplation of the three marks of mind and matter. While we were talking about it, we mentioned that all these jnana insights from one level to the other are, it's a gradual changes. Some are quite distinct because they are not connected. As an example, insight one and two, there's a lot of overlapping. Between two and three, there's a distinct difference. And between three and four, there's a lot of gradual process. So keep that in mind. We were discussing about, in a way, how to overcome unpleasant feeling or how to overcome suffering, more precise in here. Because under the heading of how to overcome unpleasant sensation, we had a Dhamma talk separate by itself. But in here, the focus is on the suffering. So while we are practicing in that level three, right near the end is, we have come to a point, you have overcome dukkha, vedana or dukkha, suffering. Especially on that one, the majority portion of it is more on a physical source. And once we have passed through that stage, we step into insight number four, which we call it insight knowledge into the arising and passing away of physical and mental phenomena, or mind and matter. And this one too, I have talked quite in details at back under the topic of how to overcome pleasant sensations and neutral sensation. If you refer back to that talk, you will see a lot of details discussed about it. So in here, I wouldn't go back in that manner in details, but just more of a summary of what we have discussed. Specifically, in here, we are talking about insight number four. Okay, insight knowledge into the arising and passing away of mind and matter. Specifically, once you have overcome the first phase of suffering, okay, the first phase of suffering, which is level three, we step into this insight level four, which is all good and pleasant and nice. So this is the jnana in which your experience were all pleasant. And in here, you can summarize it, and I'll give you the Pali words. Okay, kaya lahuta, citta lahuta. Basically, it is that lightness in the mind and the body, lahuta. And the next one is mudita. And whenever each one is defined, it refers to both physical, the body, and the mental, okay, mind, citta as well. So keep that in mind. Mudita is both the body and the mind become very gentle. And the third one is kamanyata. Kamanyata. Both body and mind become adaptable to anything that you come across in your surrounding. And the next one is bhagunyata. It's become both the body and mind become very proficient and fit. That's number four. Number five is sukha. Both the body and mind feel peace and calm. Okay. And number six is kayu sukata. So both the body and mind become straightforward and sincere. So those are the six points. I don't give the names and the previous talk, but all the facts are included in there. Basically, your body and mind become very light, no pressure, no stress. And everything, the way you move, the way you talk, the way you think, is always in a gentle approach. Gentle, polite, kind approach, never in a rough way. Okay. And adaptability. Whatever situation comes in, okay, you might be observing rising and falling, suddenly there's a big machine sounds come in. It's not a disturbance at all. You can adapt right into it without any disturbance, without any change in your mental attitude. Whether that's a sound or a big noises or whatever. That's adaptability. And proficiency and fitness is, let's say a yogi practiced for a long time and every sitting he or she has to move about 2-3 times. You just can't sit still. And when you come to that level, that yogi will find you can sit through that whole hour without a twitch. And people who can sit for an hour, they will find that they can sit for 3-4 hours without any disturbance and a twitch and a great comfort. That's proficiency. Okay. And fitness. And also the mind. Before you put a lot of effort to be able to be with, okay, an object of observation at the present moment. But at this stage, it's become automatic. You don't need any effort. You are always with the object. Automatic. Sometimes it feels like you are sitting and watching. That's a proficiency. Adaptability, proficiency. And then sukha. Sukha is all the time while you are meditating. Okay. You feel peace and calm. Yes, you are doing your job, you're observing, you're mindful, but at the same time, there's a feeling of peace and calm with you. And then, one thing is, automatically, your bodily behavior, there is no deception in any form, any way. Your mental mind, whether in terms of thoughts or speech, everything is sincere and honest, not a trace of dishonesty. automatically that's how it becomes. And all these things are, you can put it under the heading of, okay, sukha vedana. Sukha vedana is pleasant sensation. Okay, pleasant sensation. But in the scripture, it is clearly defined under this six headings. And whoever is in this state, when you are in the state of arising and passing away of the phenomenon, you have all these things. Okay? Not one after the other. They are interplay, they are overlapping, they are, you are experiencing all the time. Okay? Specifically there. And also, if you look at that person, not only in meditation, whether you are out of the meditation, in a daily life, any time, the face is very bright and open. Okay? Bright, open, and pleasant. That is in terms of physical posture. And also, there's another progress in the intelligence of that person. Okay? You find that the mind becomes sharper, more intelligent and smarter, can see a lot in depth, okay, which one cannot see before. Automatically the mind intelligence increased. These are all the indications that you are in this level, okay, of insight knowledge of arising and passing away. And they are called sukha vedana, pleasant sensation. So one is meditating. When you're meditating, all these things are there. When all these things are there, it's very easy to meditate without any effort and always in the state. Okay, you will identify all these six nature are in there. So you can imagine how pleasant it is. But don't think in terms of pleasant, okay? In terms of excited and happy and things like that. It is a lot more subtle than that. But at the same time, there's that extreme peace and comfort, both in body and the mind. That is the state you are in. At the same time, one is not totally dwelling into these sensations. These sensations are part of it, but at the same time, the mind is noting at the present, whatever the object is present moment, rising, falling, sitting, and so on. And this kind of feeling is arising repeatedly. Okay, with every note, it is there. If every observation, it is there. Okay, so that kind of repeated experience of these sensation. Okay? In a Pali word, it's called raga, R-A-G-A, raga. So raga is basically there's a person is repeatedly dwelling in a states of lobha, greed, and tanha, craving. It's always in a states of greed and craving. But it's so sad you don't even know it is, but it is there. You are in that zone of comfort, and you are still observing and noting. And observation is fantastic. As we said, it's automatic. So as it is automatic, the yogi began to feel, yes, I'm observing, I'm noting. Okay? Observing, noting, the mind thing that is observing and noting. But at the same time, there's another aspect of the mind is dwelling in this raga. Okay? In this raga. Repeated experience of all these pleasant sensations. Those two are going like hand in hand. And that is when one is in the fourth insight level. So when you are living there, what happened is, in here too, we mentioned about the fourth level of insight. And the fourth level of insight is don't think you are there and that's it. As we said right from the beginning, it's a gradual process. It's a progression. It's a progress. So in this fourth level of insight, right at the onset, you are at the tender level of insight number four. And then when you mature, when you become more skillful, that is in the more of a subtle level of insight number four. Okay, subtle level of insight. And eventually it's called mature level. In other words, there are three different zones or three different phases of this insight based on what you are doing and what you are experiencing. So right at the tender level, okay, you can see these objects. Right? Let's say we can use the example of what we always talk about, the rising movement and falling movement. In the rising movement, you can see the beginning and the end, and falling, the beginning and the end, and every object's the beginning and the end. You can see it. Compared to before, it is very clearly. Compared to the insight before, that was a lot of struggle and torture and suffering. There's no stress of these kind of stress. But the clarity of how you see that, the beginning and the ending, is not that clear. It's not that. You see it compared to before, it is quite sharper. But in actuality, it is not that sharp yet. Because at that moment, you have that raga, these pleasant feelings are arising together. So the mind is more like a going zigzagging between this awareness of the arising and passing away and the raga or enjoyment of these new feeling and ease of noting, ability to note. Because of that, your awareness of this, the beginning and the end, is not as clear. Even though you thought it's very clear, because everything is relative. Based on the previous experience, this is very good, very sharp. I know the beginning, I know the end, and also many stages in between. Not just one arising from the beginning to the end, there are a series of little movements and the rising series of little movement and the falling. Okay. But there's not much clarity yet. You can sense it, especially when you begin to feel about series of 5 or 10 movements in one rising movement. Oh, you can feel it, you can sense it, but not with sharpness yet. That is when you are at the tender stage of the insight. And then slowly and slowly, what happens is, you keep on noting, but you still have that pleasant feeling, conjoined together. And slowly, as it progresses, you become more and more skillful in noting, and what happened was, you can really see very clearly and sharply the rising and the ending, becoming and cease to exist quite clearly. And in other words, you can really settle into that mode. Still, you can observe it quite ease, but in here, compared to tender state, you'll find that quite amazing. Like very distinct and clear each becoming and each disappearance. That is in the more of the middle stage, more grounded stage, more subtle stage, more skillful stage, or the middle stage. And then mature level. when it comes to the mature level, it becomes different. What happens is, one is noting. Okay? You see this very clearly arising and passing away, rising and passing away. When you see it clearly, okay, we'll just take that example back to the tender stage. On a one rising movement, you see a little mini moments, say composites of, let's say, seven movement of them. Okay. Instead of just one, you will see, you can see that before. It's like a more like a did. In here, you can see that seven mini movements with clarity. That's the difference between the tender stage and the middle stage. The first stage is you know you are aware, but not sharply defined. And in here, each movement, you can see the beginning and the end, beginning and the end, beginning and the end, with clarity. That is the middle, mid stage. And what happened was, and the final stage, or the mature stage of this insight come in. And what happened is at that time, that speed of arising and passing away become faster and faster and faster. Before you are able to note these things with quite ease. Okay, you can see it. Now you become faster and faster and faster. And what happened was you began to feel difficulty to note these things or to be able to demarcate clearly all these arising and passing away, because the speed of arising and passing away become faster and faster and faster. Just to put an example with the one that we are using, that little composite, before you see about seven movements, seven little composite, and suddenly that little seven little mini movements and one rising movement of your abdomen become like hundreds of movement. Okay? Hundreds of movement. About six to seven, you can even clearly count. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and then finally it stopped the rising movement. But in here, you can't count anymore. Become 15, 20, 30, 50, and it's become so fast. And when you become so fast, before you can observe with clarity and without much effort, just watch. And here, suddenly what happened is, you can't. It's become so fast. When you can't note that with clarity, and you had that experience before with ease and, so to speak, in a different way, you are totally, everything is under total control. You are sitting and just an observer. And here, suddenly, your job as an observer just demoted. You can't observe with such skill and speed and precision. So very fast, very fast, very fast, you become frustrated, so to speak, irritated. Frustrated, irritated. Because the speed of arising and passing away on the objects are become very, very fast, faster and faster. So as you lost the control, you become irritated and frustrated. In the literature, the word, the way is interpreted as, is more like a torture. Okay? You were able to do everything and suddenly you lost your control and it seems like you lost your footing and torture. So in here, suddenly, previously, all these pleasant feeling, pleasant sensation, ragas are with it. And also arising and passing away are here. And here too, arising and passing away are here. You know it, but it is so fast, you cannot cope with it. You become light, irritated, frustrated. You are under stress. So what happened was, still, there is that pleasant feeling here and there, but suddenly there's a pleasant feeling arises, but suddenly it just dissolves. So along with this arising and passing away, these pleasant feelings also arise and pass away, arise and pass away, arise and pass away. So in other words, there's a lot of breaks in your pleasant feelings and pleasant sensation. So suddenly all these pleasant feelings and pleasant sensations becoming like a torture. Okay? Because there's no continuity in this pleasant feeling. Pleasant feelings arises, pass away, prices pass away. And suddenly the yogi began to see or understand, oh, these pleasant feelings are actually it is suffering. These pleasant feelings are the suffering in disguise. They are still pleasant feeling, but you begin to see their rapid cessations of these pleasant feeling, you begin to understand. These pleasant feelings are suffering in disguise. That kind of understanding arises in you. So that is the first step. The first step is when you are observing the unpleasant feeling, you must observe and you must note till you come to experience all pleasant feelings are in fact suffering dukkha. Again, come back to dukkha. So we are always in this whole out throughout the process, we are learning what is dukkha. How is it, what it is, where it is, why is it? That's all about it. But in between, we think it's great and good. But this is just passing away, passing away. That is how one must note the unpleasant feeling. Oh, sorry. Unpleasant feelings are the reality of what the pleasant feeling is. Because you see they are rapid cessation to a point that you cannot control and you cannot cope. And when you are at that stage, one thing is, as you cannot observe rising, falling, you can't observe anymore, you can't label anymore, you can't note that way anymore. So how would you do at that moment? Simply label it, knowing. You simply know that they arise and pass away, simply know that they arise and pass away. But you do not have the speed or the ability to note their arising and passing. So simply frame it with knowing. You know these physical phenomena and mental phenomena are rapidly arising and passing away. Knowing. That's how one do. So that is stages by stages how this insight level number 4 changes and how one deals with and how one notes it. So the key point in here is in the number 4 level, these pleasant feeling and sensation arises, 6 of them as we have discussed earlier. Okay. And they are called sukha vedana, pleasant feeling and sensation. And as it is arising all the time along with your noting, okay, it is said you lived or you dwell in this sukha vedana, okay, or you dwell in raga. You live in raga. And that should be clearly understood, but you don't push or change. All that your job is to note. From the tender state, a blur, now relatively speaking, it become a blur, rising and falling, to become a very distinct rising and falling, and eventually they still do, but with a great speed that you cannot even cope to watch or observe. That is the stages that goes through. But regardless, in the scripture, there's one thing to note for your information. Is these pleasant feelings, okay, these pleasant feelings and sensation that the yogi is experiencing. Okay, it is even superior to the pleasant feeling and sensation experienced by the lower level of deva. Okay, deva, you can call it angels. Angels too, there are many levels. But lower level angels, they also have these angels or deva, they are always in a state of pleasantness, sukha. They don't have suffering at all. But it is said, these experience of pleasant feeling produced by the insight number four level is greater and superior than the pleasant feelings of the lower grade deva. Needless to say about ordinary other humans who had never experienced it. At that moment, one come to know it's different what this pleasure, let's call it pleasure or pleasant feeling is. In a while, we think, okay, intellectual fame, fortune, money, wealth, all these family, all the pleasure we have, okay? We chase and we chase and we chase our whole life. Everybody is chasing after this pleasure. We don't call it a pleasure, we call it, oh, I have to be educated, I have a good job, okay? I have a great income, I have a car, I have a house, I have savings, I have great family, and all pleasurable. That kind of thing. We are always chasing. And these are the pleasures of the buddhijana, ordinary worlding. Okay, all these things. And all these pleasures, okay, this pleasure that you experience in the fourth level of insight is far superior to that. And that one, at that moment, nobody has to tell you. You know by yourself because of your direct experience. And once you know it by yourself, the difference between the worldly pleasure and this, okay, pleasant sensation of the insight number four, or you can call it spiritual pleasure or spiritual pleasant feeling or sukha, all these sensations are far superior, and you can compare more like apple and orange, a rotten apple and a fresh, recently plucked apple. Just like that, you see, and you do not have much, okay, desire for the worldly pleasure, and you prefer this one, this kind of a pleasure, far superior because you have experienced it. And once you have experienced that fully, okay, fully, the key point is fully, not a little bit of mini pops here and there, fully, you can sit down and you can get that experience anytime you sit down and do. That means you are grounded and you have it, you are at that level. When you have that, you have no interest in that, and you only have the desire for the spiritual pleasure. Because of that, that yogi do not give much emphasis or attention to the worldly pleasure and worldly life anymore. Of course, you are still connected, you still have the family, friends, house, car, everything is there, you still have it. That's accumulated wealth that you have. All the both organic and inorganic materials, the pleasure that you have. And you're still connected, you're contained it, but the way you look and the way you connect to them is not with that grasping, not with that obsession. Okay? There is no grasping anymore, but you relate to them and you do things accordingly as it's required at that moment. But your mind is bent onto that spiritual pleasure when you hear. That's why it is said, when you have reached this level, okay, it's also, there's one word applied. It's applied, you are on the path. Okay, path means mega. But that doesn't mean that you have attained the mega wisdom. Not that. You are on the path. What it means is, a person who has attained that level will not stop anymore, will keep on meditating, and the road is straight and narrow. There's no deviation, no detour, and go straight right to the point of achieving the Megajnana, Perth wisdom, and the Palajnana, fruition wisdom. You will go straight. So that word is applied. You are on the path. So when a teacher tells you you are on the path, please do have a clear understanding. There are a few yogis who misunderstood that word and they got a little bit of a rocky in a very wavy, stormy boat. You are on the path doesn't mean that you have attained path wisdom. You are on the path clearly, okay, on a highway road towards the Mecca. That's what it means. Because you know the, just that little spiritual pleasure is so great, you do not give any emphasis on the worldly pleasure anymore, and your pursuit is towards that, okay, towards that goal, to attain supreme peace. So in here, that is a very critical point, okay, and also important point in a practicing yogi, Satipatthana Vipassana yogi. Once you attained it, like if you have attained in this life that path solidly, groundedly, even in this life, depending on, of course, how much you put effort and what kind of measures you take, you can become a Arya, a noble person in this very life, if you have attained that. Of course, to be able to attain it, you attained it, you're still with your family, you're still with everything, and you cannot cut off that tie yet, then the chances of becoming a noble person is a lot slimmer. But you cut off everything, and this is the only thing in my life I'm going to pursue. And with that kind of determination, and you change your whole environment and conditions and pursue doggedly towards that, then that person can attain or become a noble person in this very life. That's why this is very important, this stage is. And then also, once you have attained this number four insight, of course, you have to follow the instruction properly and correctly as it goes along. But if you don't, there's the problem. The problem is that spiritual pleasure itself. Okay, these spiritual pleasures are also known or called as spiritual trappings. Spiritual trappings. And some people, they experience that, they enjoy that, and basically they just hang around late tender stage or the mid stage of that, and thinking that I'm noting, I'm aware, I see the arising, I see the passing away, I see the impermanence, and so on. Okay, that is a rational you put in yourself. But in reality, you are getting attached to that very comfortable feeling. Don't think it's the bells and whistles and the fireworks, but it is very subtle and very, very comfortable feeling. Keep that in mind. That is called spiritual trappings. These spiritual pleasures are spiritual trapping. If you grasp on it, you will never progress from that state. You'll be stuck there, so to speak. And some people are just simply content with that. And there are some people without much guidance, they even think they have attained enlightenment. That kind of wrong perception could arise. So that is one thing one need to be very careful about. Okay. So in here, once you make a decision, I will become a noble person in this life, then you have to pursue. If you pursue, you can become one. So in general, these things that we give you can give you an idea of what this pleasant feelings, seven sensations, all these spiritual pleasures that you experience in this stage. They are all good and dandy. Now we are giving you a whole package, of course, a whole package in this level. I'll talk a little bit about trigger points. Trigger points. Trigger points is, okay, all these things that I have described in details, okay, apart from that, they are something unique experience the yogis will experience in that level. And it varies from one person to the other. And some people may not have at all, but some people do. What it is special kind of experience unique to individual yogis. Okay, first of all, I start with the most common thing. If you remember, if you are in the first stage of insight, when you have a discriminative awareness between mind and matter, you see lights in a flickering form. Okay, flickering, all these little buzzing of life, like more like a little insects that gives you light and disappear, lights and disappear, all these little speckle of lights, you see them. And in the second stages, okay, in the second stages where you become aware of the nature of the causal relationship, nature of mind and matter, you begin to see lights. And here is more in a color form, quite distinctly, quite frequently, not once in a while. That's a light. And of course, on the third, it's all about stress and suffering, so you don't have any goodies with you. But in the fourth level, the lights, and here lights are different. The way you see lights is, sometime you see a glow of life, glow of life, diffused, okay. Not something bright, diffused, but it is very diffused, but it gives you a great feeling, okay. More like a cocoon, that glows of light or a mist of light wrap you around and you feel very comfortable in it. That is one way a person can experience light. Or another yogi might see a very bright light. Okay. But one thing is, when we see a bright light, that bright light doesn't irritate you. Your eyes, just extremely bright, but it is very comfortable feeling. Okay, as soon as we say bright, okay, we like to shut our eyes off. Not like that. It is very bright, but it doesn't disturb you. It doesn't make you blink. You enjoy in that brightness of light. Some people might see or experience that kind of light. And some people, they might see rays of light. Okay, you see actually in the light, they become, you can see one ray at a time, rays. You can see them very clearly. That kind of experience. on a different level, of course. And some people, again, at the mid-level, you see rays. But even in each ray, it is not a one straight rays. It is a little dots, or a little bit of, dash of ray blank, dash of ray blank, dash of ray blanks. In other words, one ray is not just simply one ray. That's a composite of many little lights coming down, and you can see with such clarity each and every lights and rays. Okay. So these are a few examples of lights that you would experience in that level. And that is the indication you are in the fourth level. Okay. But it has a very comfortable feeling, cozy feeling, protective feeling, cocoon feeling, and never in a sense of irritated feeling. And that is one way you can see lights. And also, let's say lights is seeing. Let's say sound. Okay, and a sound, give you example, is a very loud noise. Is, let's say, a train or a big truck coming within about 100 feet from you, so you can imagine how loud it is. If you are in that state, that noise, you still hear it, but it seems like it is happening about 50 miles away, just like a little echo that you are hearing. That kind of a thing. And sometimes there's just a little, okay, very small little noise that comes in, happening just around, but you are acutely aware of it as if it is happening right in front of you. These kind of perception changes comes in. And also, you could hear the sound, and in a way to speak, you can even see the sound. Let's say as an example, as a rain come in, the rain finish, and you're under a tree or under a tent, and then finally the rain stop. There's not much water left, but still a droplets might come in. In about 2-3 minutes, that might be another little drop might come down. Let's say you're under a tent, and that drop, rain falls and drop on the tent canvas. You hear that sound. But when you heard that sound, at that moment, nothing exists in the universe except you and that sound. You can hear the sound. But that sound is not like simply the way we know is a canvas, water drop, blub, bub, that's it. No, it's like a ringing of a bell. Like you can hear like that sound like a ringing of a bell. And there's a wave of that sound. You can hear it, ringing of the bell and the wave. Little high and low and high and low and high and low. You can hear that in that intonation. That is just on the hearing part. And another part is you sense like you are actually seeing the sound. The way you see the sound is, let's say you throw a pebble into the pond, and then the waves make it, okay, slowly. The waves go in, bigger waves, smaller, 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 and disappear. You can even see the sound like that as a wave along with the hearing. These kind of like a very unique, okay, experience happen. And that is nothing supernatural. It is simply, it is what is really happening. But your concentration power, your samadhi is so strong, you begin to see the actual nature of the manifestation of sight at the manifestation of sound. Sometimes you're looking at a sand or a pebble. It's just simple sand or a pebble. And then you will see the brilliance with all the colors in it. That sand, piece of a grain of sand or that pebble is extremely beautiful with multicolor. That's how you see. That is the true nature. Because before, of course, we don't know. But now we know with the science. You cut a slice of rock. Okay, you cut it. You put it on the slide, you really grind it, and you look at under the microscope. You will see an intricate nature of patterns and colors that is real, but now it's a science, it's under the lab, the colors and the patterns. And now in here, you don't need any lab, you don't need any instrument. You can actually see the pattern and colors of a grain of sand. But when your meditation is so deep, the mind can penetrate more and more deeper into the true nature of the physical objects and mental objects. That kind of thing. Sight, sound, smell. In other words, there are five senses. I can keep on talking and talking and talking. But in general, the point we are making here is you will see these physical and mental phenomena in a way that you have never seen before, but I call it special effects. And these kind of things will come to being. You will experience it, you will see it. But they are not the primary them. As I said from the beginning, they call it trigger points. Trigger points. Let's say you heard that sound of a drop of water, you hear in waves, in a pleasant sound, you see in waves. Suddenly, after that experience, you are accelerated. Your confidence, your saddha, your faith in the practice become enormously grown. And it makes you push farther. In other words, the little experience trigger you to push farther, to go deeper, to have stronger and stronger and stronger saddha and into the process. That's why I named it trigger points. It will be endless, we'll be talking about it, but one will experience. But don't think that everybody will experience the same. Everybody is different based on the inclination of the mind, based on the attitude of the mind, based on the seed of the past karma. Everybody experiences different, that kind of thing. So these kind of things too you will find, but you won't see or hear these things in the book. In the book, the 6 points that I mentioned, that's overall. If you have that, okay. You have saddha and you have sukha already. But these little trigger points expound it and multiply more. So that is what the 4th level of insight, okay? Awareness or knowledge into the nature of arising and passing away of mind and matter. And may all of you be able to practice Satipatthana Vipassana meditation and you reach this 4th level of insight, Udayabhayajnana, the insight into the arising and passing away of mind and matter. And may your saddha grow exponentially and go deep into the practice as soon as possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu Buddham Pujemi Dhammam Pujemi Sangham Pujemi.